Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. So, are you anxious about Social Security? We are not going to talk politics this morning, but we are going to talk about who qualifies now, how they qualify, and with the knower of all things Social Security is Lester Austin, Senior Public Affairs Specialist. Lester, I think you and I met 25 years ago, and back when you were probably 14.
Well, I won't admit that, but it's a great pleasure and a great opportunity to be here this morning. Talk about Social Security with you. Let the people know just what's going on. And as always, I know you're going to encourage them to pick up that phone and give us a call.
Okay, great. And John Elliott, retired Fed, federal benefit strategist, seminar presenter, emailer, answerer, and also knower of all things Social Security. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob and Lester.
All righty, this should be good. Let's start off easy, okay? This isn't so easy, though. When is it best to when is the best time to apply for Social Security? Now, that's not so easy, but everybody asks you that. When should I do it?
And you're absolutely right. A lot of folks come up and they say, when should I retire on Social Security? And the only thing that we can say is we can give them facts as to what benefits they would be entitled to. But as far as when a person should retire, that is a personal decision. A personal decision. So individuals have to make sure that they have everything that they need in place. So once they do retire, they don't have to return to work.
And before we came on air, your comments spot on. But before we came on air, we in the quote green room, we were talking about when people come to see you and say, okay, what do I qualify for? Well, they get statements anyway, don't they? But they don't want to read them. They want to come down and talk to you.
Well, we encourage the American public to review those statements. We were sending those statements out once a year, 3 months before a person's birthday. And what that statement had was information as to what they would be entitled to at 62, their full retirement age, depending on what year they were born, and age 70. We also let them know what they're going to be entitled to under survivor's benefits as far as their next of kin, children, spouses, being the widow or widower. And then also what we did was we let them know what they would be entitled to if they became disabled. We only sent out about 155 million of those a year.
That's it.
3 months before a person's birthday. And that was a tremendous cost, about $35 million a year. So when government was scheduled to close down and the deal was cut, $38.5 billion was cut from the federal budget. Social Security was in that mix. And being in that mix, we will no longer be sending out that statement at this time because that costs us about $35 million a year. And what we encourage folks to do is go online, to go online at our website, www.socialsecurity.gov, and they can get that same information online at the quickness of blinking of the eye.
So yeah. Do you enter your Social Security number to get your statement?
Yes, and what I want to encourage people to understand is this. When you go on the Social Security website, this is not Yahoo, this is not Google, nor is this Bing or Twitter. This is Social Security's search engine. So therefore, when you go into Social Security's website, your information is safe and secure. In 1939, the G-Men under Hoover came to Social Security and said, would you share your information with us? And we told them no. And today we are still saying no because we're there to protect your interests.
Gee, man, I thought that was a Wizards mascot. No?
Well, Elliot Ness and the gang.
That wasn't so good. Anyway, but when you used to get the statement or now when you can get it online, what I always found interesting was you had a history of what you had been paying Social Security tax on. So in other words, it listed your income up to a certain level, both Social Security and Medicare. And the people that would say, why am I not getting much? Well, they look back at the history and it's because you didn't put much in. Is that a fair statement?
That would be definitely a fair statement because when one looks at the maximum contributions that they could have contributed to Social Security, like this year, the maximum contribution is $106,800 it's $106,800 at 6.20%. So when you look at 6.20%, That's less than $6,500 a year that one is actually paying in. And this year is 4.2%. So you're talking about less than $4,500 is one's actual contributions, earning the maximum contributions under Social Security at $106,800.
Okay, now it's the quote, I guess, Social Security holiday for a year or two, whatever it's going to be. But it doesn't really impact one's income. So if your Social Security was based on a maximum or close to a maximum, the fact that the contribution went down wouldn't cause the benefit to go down.
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right. Because what we do at Social Security, when you look back at high school and when you're in college, we do what is called indexing the earnings. So we index the earnings to bring them up to current day value. So even though this year your contribution is less, because instead of 6.20%, it's going to be 4.2%, we still are indexing. So you're actually going to get back more than you put into it at the time that we began to pay a benefit.
Okay, well, I think we got that, but you know, people say, when's the best time? Now, there is no, it's individual. For example, somebody, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if you're still working past 62 and your compensation is more than X, there's no rush to apply because you're not going to get anything.
Well, what we find is when you think about Social Security began on August the 14th of 1935. So back then in 1935, when this was enacted, the Federal Insurance Contribution Act was passed, and President Roosevelt signed this into law, the life expectancy was 60 to 65. 2011 life expectancy is 80 to 85. And I have the unique pleasure of visiting centenarians in the Washington metropolitan area. Those individuals are 100 years of age and older. And the oldest young lady that I talked to is 103 years of age. So people are actually living longer and working longer. So if a person continues on working, then of course they're going to continue to contribute to Social Security, and that will lead to their benefits to increase from taking it at 62 years of age.
But if they did take it at 62 and their work income was, what is it, $14,000?
Yeah, there's an earnings test.
And if you make more than that, they take the Social Security away, right?
It can take part or all of it away depending on how much you make, but I'll let Lester answer that.
$14,160 for those folks that are under their full retirement age. This is what they're allowed to earn. And when we're talking about earnings, we're not talking about a retirement. We're not talking about one's annuity. We're not talking about a royalty from the book that you wrote about your marriage. We're not talking about rental property. We're talking about an employee-employer relationship or a person being self-employed.
Yeah, and then it's only on your net profit if you're self-employed.
If you're self-employed, is the net.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's if you keep your wages under $14,160 this year, and it may go up a little next year. And maybe,
we really don't know right now on Social
right,
Security.
But it won't go up much. But, yeah, you don't suffer any reduction to your Social Security benefit. But as you go over that amount, they take $1 for out of your Social Security benefit for every $2 you exceed that limit. And when do they recompute that if you suffer a reduction?
At the conclusion of the year, say for an example, John, you're still working part-time, but you're earning under $14,160. So that means he's getting his Social Security check. So at the conclusion of the year, because he's still paying into Social Security, we're going to look at those additional earnings, and those additional earnings can help escalate that reduced benefit.
Okay. What about somebody that is going to work the first, I guess, baby boomer normal retirement age is what, 60?
In the federal government, for years, the average retirement age was about 61. It may be going higher
But for Social Security, isn't there a, quote, normal retirement age that if you're a baby boomer, that
a person could first become eligible to file for benefits at age 62.
Right.
When a person elects to take the benefits at age 62, the benefits are reduced by 0.5% per month for each month that a person elects it before their full retirement age.
Okay, but what's the first full retirement age after 62?
It works like this, Bob. For persons born 1937 and earlier, their full retirement age is 65. And then it begins to escalate. Person born 1941 is 65 and 8 months, 1942, 65 and 10 months. Between 1943 and 1954, full retirement age is 66. And it continues to escalate for those individuals born 1960 and later. Their full retirement age is 67. So say those individuals born between 1943 and 1954, their full retirement age is 66. So if they elect to take the benefits at age 62, instead of them having a 20% reduction, which has been imposed for those individuals born 1937 and earlier, they will have a 25% reduction in their benefits, electing in it at 62 versus waiting for the full retirement age of 66.
Now, each month you delay collecting benefits, you get a little more because it's prorated month, right?
You're absolutely correct. And what the American public needs to know is for each month that they elect to receive the benefit before their full retirement age, the benefit is reduced by approximately by 0.5%. I would say 0.625% right. for each month. So again, 0.5% per month reduction. Once they take a reduced benefit, the only way that benefit can increase is additional earnings under Social Security covered employment. And, of course, the cost of living increase when that occurs.
But if somebody was saying, listen, I'm still in the job, I've turned 62, I'm going to work at least till I'm 66 or 67, it's futile for me to go apply for Social Security because my earnings are going to be greater than what I can make, and I'm going to lose all that I'm entitled to.
Well, they won't lose what they're entitled to, but they would be suffering an unnecessary reduction because we would be unable to pay them because they will exceed their earnings limit of $14,160.
But they got zero Social Security because of the income, correct?
That's correct. But it might be a situation where that person says, look, I understand that I am going to take this reduction and I'm not going to receive any benefits because my earnings are so great. But my spouse has no health insurance and she's 66 years of age, 65 years of age, 65, let's say. So what they can do is file for that reduced benefit, even though we can't pay them a check, but they could get the Medicare for the spouse. There are some situations.
I was going there.
Yeah. We got to look at it.
Yeah. So the first comment when we came out, we said, when's the best time to apply? Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? And you hit right at the beginning, and then we talked about the individual that would be making more so that their Social Security payment would be zero. But you got the insurance factor in there that's worth an awful lot of money.
And let me show you something else. Not only that insurance factor, but because this person did not receive a benefit, once they reach their full retirement age, we're going to look back and say, how many checks did that person actually receive? Zero. So then we're going to recalculate.
Okay. And then they would get whatever at their, quote, normal retirement age. But if they're still working, doesn't hurt because there's no reduction.
Well, in the year that a person turns their full retirement age, this year they can earn $31,680. For every $3 they go over that amount, we want them to reimburse us for one. But once they turn their full retirement age, they can work and earn as much as they want. Don't that sound great?
It is great, yeah. And if they still don't need to collect that Social Security benefit, there are things called delayed retirement credits, are there not?
Oh, we can tell he's been doing his homework this time.
He is absolutely right. He is a benefit strategist.
Yeah. And look, what happens is this. Say that person doesn't want to take the full benefit at their full retirement, take the benefit, the 100% benefit. And what John is indicating is we have what is called delayed retirement credits. They're worth 8% over that 100% benefit payable. So a person might say, because people are working longer, living longer, they say, hold up. I'm not going to take my Social Security at my full retirement age. I'm going to just let it stay there because I'm making enough money. I have enough money to continue on and suffer no type of reduction in that I do.
Yeah, and if you delay all the way to age 70, you'd get 8% a year or 32% more if your full retirement age is 66, for example. That big chunk of people born between 1943 and 54, that's 66. And if you delay it for 4 years to 70, that's 32% increase. However, you got to look at the break-even point because you spent 4 years getting zero. And the break-even point is probably, depending on the COLAs that you've missed too, and we don't know, that's kind of hard to predict, but you're probably looking at least till your mid-80s before you recoup that money. So if you're going to live past your mid-80s or whenever the break-even point is, great, delay, but you may not. So that's another thing to consider.
See, retirement is one thing I always tell folks about retirement. Guess what? It's risky business. And the reason it's risky business is because only one thing must occur in order for you to get your retirement. And that is you got to live. You got to live. So nobody knows the minute, the day, or the hour that they would transition from this place to somewhere else. So planning for retirement, again, is a personal situation. So a person must make sure that they have all their ducks in a row. Social Security is only one leg of a three-legged stool. One leg. So you have to make sure that your retirement, your investments, along with your Social Security, being the base to build on, is okay.
So there's nobody we can call after we after we're gone to get our Social Security, huh?
Are you trying to get help? 1-800?
1-800, forget it, right?
Well, your widower could get
Your
Social Security based on your earnings record, your earnings history.
And he's absolutely right, because what happens, say in your demise, God forbid, if you pass, your widow or the widow could be entitled to a benefit. They can come on as early as age 60. As early as age 60 and begin to receive that benefit. If they have a disability before they say that you pass, widow or widower is 51 years of age, then that widow or widower, if they have a disability within 7 years of the date of death, they can file for disabled widow or widower's benefits. So we can pay disabled widow or widow's benefits, or the widow can come on at age 60, begin to receive a benefit. Then at age 62, they might want to switch over on their own record, which might pay them more. They have the right to do it.
Well, let's take the widow or widower, and they have earnings. Let's say they have decent earnings. How do they determine which is best to claim, theirs or their deceased spouses?
They can't add them both together. They can only get the higher of the two records. So the widow or widower's benefit starts as early as age 60. So the widow or widower might take that benefit because, say, they might have stopped work. So they can take the benefit at age 60, being the widow or widower, and then at age 62 or later, whenever is most advantageous for them to switch over on their own, which might pay them more. They have the right to do that. Widows and widowers are very unique in America. A lot of them consider themselves living in sin. And the reason for this is that they're afraid to get married once they begin to receive their widow or widow's benefit because they've heard that the Social Security check will stop. But see, that's misinformation. If the widow or widower is 60 years of age and older, they can remarry. And guess what? Their benefits will continue. And if they remarry someone and have been remarried for a year or longer, and that person is receiving more than what they're receiving, they could switch over on the new spouse's record and get the higher amount. So spread the word and let them know.
This is a good thing this show is archived and can be heard all over the world, because now we're preaching to the world. But momentarily, between now and, say, another half hour, we're live, and we're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. And you got two people, knower of all things Social Security, and you got the booming voice of Lester Austin, Senior Public Affairs Specialist. Just a scant 25 years ago. I'm sure you don't remember. It was in Indian Head, Maryland.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time
ago. I won't admit to that. I'm still 25, I think.
Yeah. Me too. All righty. So there is some analysis, which then comes up to the next question. Is it better to apply online or at a Social Security office? Of course, online is very efficient, but, you know, if they can tap into somebody like you, not many people like you, of course, the brain power, Do you ever say, okay, if you do this, this is what happens, but if you don't do this and you do this later, this is what could happen, or are you just to tell them this is what you're entitled to? Because when you start counseling people, you start getting into misunderstandings.
Every time I have the opportunity to educate the American public on this program, I encourage them. I encourage them to file online if at all possible at our website, www.socialsecurity.gov. I want them and I encourage them to click on it, to stick on it, and to scroll through it. There's so much information. They can file for retirement benefits. They can file for disability benefits. They can file for survivor's benefits. They can file for Medicare. So they really don't have to go into an office unless that's their choice.
Lester, were you a dancer? Click, stick, and stroll.
Click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it.
Okay.
Our website at www.socialsecurity.gov.
They also have a calculator where you can estimate your Social Security benefits.
That's absolutely correct. We got calculator number one, calculator number two, and calculator number three. Calculator number one is real complicated. Number two is very easy. So I always encourage people to use calculator number two. Now, that benefit statement that we sent out, yes, it has those money amounts that you have earned each year. And all you do is plug in those money amounts. And once you have done that, we're going to give you the best. And then with your guesstimate of your future year's earnings, we're going to give you an estimate of what you could be entitled to. Number three calculator, you can do as well. But then we have the new retirement estimator. You can go online. And once you've gone online, you can use this new retirement estimator by just answering the seven pertinent questions to you. And then we're going to say, do you agree with this? You say yes. Then we're going to say, how much are you going to earn from now until retirement? You give us that. And wow, blink your eyes and got the estimate. Same estimate that you get on that statement that we've been mailing out. But what this will do is it's going to give it to you right now, fast, quick, and in a hurry. And with the calculators, you can also do what if scenarios. What if I work longer? What if I earn this amount? What if I don't earn anything?
So what about people that are computer phobes? They're just not good with computers. Can they get this information by calling in? Is there a call-in number?
Yeah, we do have the 1-800 number that they can call in and speak to a live person. That number is 1-800-772-1213. Again, that number is 1-800-772-1213. Because, see, something happened after World War II. After World War II, there was a lot of loving going on in America. And before me sit some of us, the silver tsunami, better known as the baby boomers, 80 million folks. So we estimate anywhere from 10 to 12 million people will be contacting us at Social Security per day across this nation. We got 1,300 field offices across America. Excuse me, 1,300 field offices approximately across America. Now, you can see those numbers don't work. Yeah, it don't work. But when a person goes online to file, we're mandated to pull that application in the next morning. So if you file tonight, we're going to pull that application in the next morning. It may be at 10 o'clock, you get a phone call asking about a question that you might have missed. Versus going into the Social Security office, taking a number, and then they're going to ask you to have a seat, and you're going to have to wait and wait and wait. I used to tell people take their lunch, but they put signs up said no eating in the reception area. And then we just got some new signs that say you must cut off all your electronic devices. So it's so easy and it's so simple, and it's to your advantage to file online. It's quick, convenient, and easy.
Okay, and the online version also would have the history that the printed version used to have, right, with your earnings back to day one of Social Security earnings.
When you go online, you will not be able to see that whole history of your earnings. You will not. But when you make that request online, it feeds directly into that information. You just won't be able to see it. And that's how come we encourage folks, do not destroy the last statement we sent you. Hold on to it in case you want to be like John and play with the calculators.
Yeah. Now, I've heard that they're going to, and correct me if I'm wrong, this may just be a rumor, but they're going to do away with the paper statements and you will, in the future at some point, have to go online. Is that true or untrue?
That's true, and we're there right now because
you're there right now.
Yeah, we're there right now because we're not sending that statement out because of the cost factor.
Right.
And we're in the business of paying benefits.
Right.
And that's what this money is
for. So I probably got my last state. I got one last November, which was 3 months before my birthday. That's my last one?
That's correct, because in about April we stopped.
Okay. Well, luckily I know how to use a computer. But no, that's great. It saves money, and that's a very good thing to be doing these days, obviously.
And if you look at our website where we used to say request a statement, we have taken that off our website because we're unable to do that at this time.
Let me ask you this. For people that love to touch and feel paper, if they go into the office, Social Security office, can they get a printout of their history at the office?
They can do that.
Okay.
But that is personal information, and we would encourage one not to do that because if they lost it, someone would have your pertinent information.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, but there are, you know, I just think of people as you all were talking, and I got people just love to create.
Yeah, well, they can still
paper.
Go into a field office, and a list of field offices is the website, socialsecurity.gov. Yeah. And so you can easily find one near your home if you need to, if you just feel compelled to go in and talk to somebody.
Right. And that's what I would encourage. If you want to talk to somebody, give us a call at 1-800-772-1213. And what they can do, if they want to go in, they can make an appointment to go in the field office so that when they get there, they won't have to wait and wait. Someone will be waiting for them because they're what? Contacted us prior to their visit and made an appointment to be seen.
Okay, ignoring the age for minimum qualifications for just a second, because we have people that listen to the show that are covered by wages that are Social Security, and we got people that have wages that aren't Social Security, and we have mid-career folks and beginning career folks. So given that, here's the next question. It's a softball. How long does a person need to work to become eligible for benefits, regardless of their age? Let's just say, what would be the minimum? There's a huge age issue, but you can't get in the door without the key.
Right. For those individuals born 1930 and later, they must have worked at least 10 years minimum under Social Security. 10 years represent 40 quarters, 40 periods, 40 credits. You can only earn 4 quarters a year. I'll call them quarters just in this conversation, even though we call them periods, credits. I'm going to call them quarters. You need to earn at least 40 quarters. You can only earn 4 quarters a year.
Does that mean you have to work 4 quarters of the year?
It used to be, and it works like this. Prior to 1978, you had to earn at least $50 in order to be entitled to a quarter of coverage. So you had to work a minimum of each quarter, a minimum of $50.
Underline the word used to.
That's right. Prior to 1978, you had to earn a minimum of $50 in order to earn a quarter of coverage. For an example, if you worked in the first quarter, earned $5,000 a year, and worked at no other time during the course of the year under Social Security covered employment, you have earned how many quarters? One. Effective in 1978, the law changed. Effective in 1978, the law stated that the amount necessary to earn a quarter had escalated from $50 to $250. Also effective in 1978, the law stated and it stipulated that an individual no longer had to earn a minimum of $250 in each quarter. Once that person had earned $1,000, whether it was first day, first week, middle of the year, last month, last week, or last day, but once they had earned $1,000, they would be entitled to 4 quarters of coverage. That has since continued to escalate, whereas this year, a quarter of coverage costs $1,120. So therefore, for a person to be entitled 4 quarters this year, they must earn a minimum of $4,480.
And that could be one day, or it could be 1 month, like
one
you
day.
Say. Yeah.
And if somebody earns $4,480 in one day, what they have done is earned 40 quarters of coverage. But what I would like for them to do is call us immediately at 202-465-3080, and let me know where they're working. Maybe I can get a job there.
You couldn't have a better job, Lester. Anyway, so, but didn't they change the wording when they changed the dollar amounts? They got rid of the word quarter. Is it credit now?
Right. We say credits.
Yeah.
And we used to say periods. But for most of us, we always known them as quarters. How many quarters do I need? How many quarters? And like I said, for persons born 1930 and later, they need 10 years of work. That work can be sporadic or that work can be consecutive. But the bottom line is they must have 40 quarters of coverage. Now, there have been times when an individual will come to the Social Security office and say, look, I know that I need 40 quarters, but I only have 35 and that I would like my money back. But see, we can't look at them and laugh. We have to look at them and say it doesn't work like that. If you have 40 quarters, if you need 40 quarters and you only have 35, you have to go get a job and pay into Social Security.
But it's real easy to get those remaining five typically because you, this year, as you pointed out, you only have to make 4480 in 1 year at any time and you get the four credits for that year. So you're down one. So the next year you only have to work earn a little over $1,000 and you got that fifth and final credit, and that's probably, and it's a very well worth doing. It's very cost effective to get that 40th credit because, then you get that monthly benefit indexed to inflation for the rest of your life, and it provides a benefit to your spouse if your spouse's own earnings are less than yours. So it's well worth it, particularly if you're close and in credits.
Right, and I would encourage a person to do it the right way because we have seen situations where the grandmother is babysitting for the granddaughter and the mother is paying the grandmother so that they can get the quarters. Well, the grandmother's not holding herself out to the community. She's not charging the same thing as anybody else. So we do have to look at these situations when someone is real close to make sure that no type of misrepresentation occurs.
I can't imagine that. Okay, so I come in, I said, Lester, I'm all befuddled with this. How is this stuff calculated? Now, I'm sure it's done with a computer, but is there a easier way to say it other than go to the calculator?
Right. The easier way for somebody to visit our website. And we have a step-by-step process to show them just how we calculate that using the 35 years of high earnings. And like I said, even though someone might have 0 years of earnings, with the indexing that occurs to bring them up to current value, we're still paying them more back of what they have put than what they have put in.
Okay, then I guess the next question would be, okay, if I'm over minimum retirement age, if you will, to not have a decrease, let's say I'm 66 or 67, but I'm still working and I'm still putting money into the system. If I am, is there a recognition of that such that that individual's Social Security would increase as long as they worked? I'm sure it's not dramatic, but does it increase?
Yeah, and that's just what John was speaking about earlier, whereas you have these earnings limitations. So even though a person is still working part-time at the conclusion of the year, not during the course of the year, but once that physical year has ended, then we'll take into consideration those additional earnings, and that could increase one's benefits.
Nice.
Yeah, the Social Security formula is based on your highest 35 years of indexed earnings. So if a higher year knocks out a lower year, then you're increasing your benefit. Am I right?
At the point that you file for retirement benefits, it sort of locks right there. Then any year after that would be a year of additional earning that we would look at the conclusion of the year to recalculate to see if that amount that you have taken will increase.
Okay.
All righty. So we got that. We got how to apply, where to apply, if you like computers or you don't like computers, generally how it works, the minimum retirement age, what a credit is. It used to be called a quarter. We're getting very educated here. So what's a hard question? What's the hardest, not the hardest, give me a middleweight question you get, Lester.
A middleweight question?
Middleweight.
Folks that are under the civil service retirement system, and I'm talking about the civil service retirement system, you have those folks that work for the federal government prior to 1984 and have a vested interest versus those persons that are under the federal employee retirement system, which is FERS. Now, the folks that are on the FERS, they're paying in the Social Security, Civil Service, and a Thrift Savings Plan. It's a three-tier package. But those individuals under the CRS system, what happens is, even though they have worked and earned the number of quarters necessary to qualify for Social Security, when we compute their benefits, we're removing that indexing factor. So we're paying them actually based on their actual earnings under Social Security. And a lot of times they say, well, why is that? This is called the windfall elimination provision of the law, which became effective January 1, 1986. And what it does is those folks under the old CRS system, even though they paid into Social Security, we're going to compute their benefits differently, removing the indexing. Now, in order for them to be exempt from that provision of the law, they must have turned 62 before 1986. They must have been eligible to retire before 1986, or they have what is called 30 years of substantial service, and that's a money amount.
It's not a lot of money you have to earn each year, but there is a certain amount you have to earn to get credit for a substantial year of earning. And as Lester points out, if you manage to get 30, now that's hard for serious people to get 30 in addition to a full career under CSRS. But in theory, but now some of our CSRS offset people can reach 30 years of substantial coverage because they've got all those offset years where they met, they were paying into Social Security and met the substantial year earning standard. So they can get to 30 sometimes and eliminate the windfall elimination provision altogether. But you need the full 30. Now, if you have less than 21, you get hit by the full effect of the windfall. And then each year you get closer to 30, you get a little, the windfall reduction becomes 5% less.
And that's correct, because it depends on how many years of substantial service. What we have when we compute that benefit, and this gets a little complicated, we talk about tier one is a 90% tier, tier two is a 35% tier, and tier three is a 15% tier. Well, on that first tier, that 90% tier can drop as much as 40%. So at 40%, when a person get that benefit estimate in the mail that we used to send out, we look at them and we say, okay, you can cut that in half. So it won't be $1,000, it'll be $500 that you're actually going to be entitled to. And it depends on how many years, say they got 25%, 25 years of substantial service, then that first hit would be a lot less, 50% less. So they'll actually receive more in benefits.
Yeah, so somebody like me, I was CSRS only, retired under CSRS only, but I earned my 40th credit some years ago, so I will get a benefit. But I will get hit by the full effect of the windfall. In other words, that first multiplier will be 40% instead of 90% in that first tier, because I don't think I'm ever going to get to 21 years where I even start chipping into the windfall elimination provision. So I'm fairly typical of a CSRS-only person who worked outside the government and got that 40th credit. But I will get something. And it'll, you know, it's not going to be when I collect it, because I think I'm going to wait till 70 to collect the full amount I possibly can, those delayed retirement credits. It's not going to be, you know, it's going to be, I forget, I've been a while since I've estimated it, but it will be a substantial monthly payment in addition to whatever I'm collecting under CSRS.
And see, just like John is indicating, a lot of folks are under the myth that because I'm receiving a civil service, I'm under the old CRS system, I won't be able to get any Social Security. But that's incorrect information. If they worked and they earned enough quarters of coverage under Social Security, they can be entitled to the Social Security check and a civil service check. And that Social Security check will not affect the civil service check.
Absolutely, and that's an important point to remember because, you know, people like me take that for granted, but there are people out there who do ask that question. Well, does it impact my CSRS retirement? Not one penny.
Okay, and could I ask you, this is a two-prong question. Let's say an individual is married. Let's say that they're not married, but they do have children. Let's say that the individual unfortunately passes at a very young age. well before 62, well before 66, maybe even well before 40. Is there a Social Security check that the surviving children would get?
Oh, no question. We pay surviving children, and that's called survivor's benefits. And a child can receive a benefit from the day they're born until age 18. We used to pay benefits up to age 22 while a student was a full-time student in college. But that was changed based on the 1977 and the 1982 amendments, where we began to phase the students out being 18 years of age and older by a 25% reduction until we got them off the records. But a child can receive a benefit up to age 18 or 19 being a full-time student in high school. Once they go to post-secondary school, go to college, they're no longer considered a child under the definition of Social Security.
Okay. Then if I take it a step further, somebody does retire at a, quote, normal age. You know, they're not 30. They're 62 or they're 65, but they do have children. The child at that point, I won't say probably, but more often than not, is older than 18.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I understand
more
that.
More and more.
I was going to do then the reverse. So I just wanted to do the first, and then now let's do the reverse.
Okay.
But if the child was under 18,
they could get a check.
Then it would be the same as if the individual was 30.
That's correct.
Yeah, even while the earner's alive.
That's correct.
Yeah, and it's the same for a spouse. There are spousal benefits that a spouse can collect even though her spouse, the wage earner, is alive. And
right. Now, say for an example, I'm gonna use John. Let's say John is married to someone that has a minor child, 16 years of age, say 15. So John got married, he and his spouse has a child, 15 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
John is 65.
You're right, I am.
And John's spouse might be 62. But because John's spouse has a minor child under the age of 16, she could get a check equal to that child's check. So she could get a check on John's record. The child can get a check. Now, once the month before the child turns age 16, that mother's or father's check stopped. But in this scenario, by John's wife being over 62, then she could come on and file as a reduced spouse at a reduced benefit.
This is all very good information, but I just know some of the people listening, whether it's live or whether it's tonight, tomorrow, next month, is going, oh my goodness, I wasn't aware of that. Now, who do we call?
www.socialsecurity.gov. Again, click on it, stick on it, and guess what? We have
and stroll.
And yeah. Look, you can plug in. I have a question. So you can plug in frequently asked questions, and we will answer that question. And if we don't have an answer, you can give us your email address, and we will respond with a question on that. Let me show you something else. Let's take John and give another scenario. John's 65. He's been paying into Social Security. He's entitled to receive a benefit at 65. So he decides to do that. Well, John has a disabled child, 45. The child may have been receiving another benefit called Supplemental Security Income, better known as SSI. This is a program based on need. So we look at one's income and one's resources. But now, because John is receiving benefits, because this child had a disability prior to age 22, we can pay that child on John's record, and the SSI, the benefit based on need, might stop.
Hmm.
And the child can be entitled as a disabled adult child on John's record, even though John is 65 and the child is 45.
Yeah, the point is, just to keep in mind without getting too far into the weeds, is that a spouse and children, minor children, can get benefits. You don't have to die before they can get benefits. So you need to keep that in mind to see if your spouse or your minor children are eligible for benefits, or disabled child. That's I think.
And I would encourage the listeners to understand that when you have these questions, just contact Social Security and contact us directly and get that answer. Because a lot of times you can talk to relatives and friends and people that you know, and they can tell you anything and everything you ever wanted to know about Social Security.
And it'll be wrong.
And we at Social Security find that absolutely correct. If they're incorrect, and when you talk about incorrect social information in Social Security, you're talking about losing money. So being here today is a great opportunity for us to set the record straight and let the American public know just what's going on in Social Security, because we want no one to be surprised.
Okay, now, I would feel very remiss if I didn't bring up tax issues with regards to Social Security. And everybody just turned off. But this is, I think it's very important for most, and 100% for those under FERS. If one's income, and they file jointly, is below $32,000, it's probably not going to happen with the people listening to the show, they don't pay tax at all on their Social Security income. Now, this is not the easiest calculation to make. And if their income is between 32 and 44, they pay tax on half of it. Not a 50% tax, it just includes half of it. And if they have more than $40,000 of income, then they pay tax on 85% of it. Now, instead of people look at it the other way, 15% is non-taxable, and more often than not, it's non-taxable in the state. A single person, the numbers are smaller. A head of household, the numbers are smaller. But right. What I'm trying to say is it's very variable with income, but it's never going to be 100% taxable.
That's correct.
And it's always, well, I won't say always, it's generally not taxable in the state. But FERS folks can watch out how they take money out of IRAs and whatnot. They could keep their income low in 1 year, keep the Social Security very non-taxable, and then double up in the next year. They pay the higher rate, and then this is the accountant in me. I had to say it.
Yes, but
I'm sorry. I apologize,
but you need a tax strategist to figure all that out for you.
Yeah.
Well, from the Social Security perspective, I can make it very easy, and that is this. For individuals that have taxable income and Internal Revenue Service determines what's taxable, not Social Security, if they are individual and they have taxable income of $25,000 or greater, or is it a couple with taxable income of $32,000 or greater, their Social Security can be taxable anywhere from 50 to 85%, depending on the situation of what is considered taxable income for that individual. So therefore, the Social Security. And remember earlier when we talked and we talked about the fact that once a person reaches their full retirement age, they can work and earn as much as they want. That sounds great. But the fact of the matter is, if they're an individual, $25,000 or greater taxable income, couple of $32,000 or greater, then their Social Security can be taxable anywhere from 50 to 85%. So a lot of folks are saying, hold up, let me stop working. When I'm 70, my income will come down and my taxable income will be less. And at that point, I'll take the Social Security.
Okay. Then there's another thing that the FERS folks get. They get something called, is it a supplement, John?
Yes. It's called the FERS Annuity Supplement. And it's to bridge the gap between a retirement prior to age 62 and when you reach age 62, where we've already learned that 62 is when you can first collect your actual Social Security benefit. So there are, and a lot of my FERS folks in seminars think they're going to retire before 62. And, and they'll say, well, I'm going to have my 30 years at my minimum retirement age of 56, and I can retire. Sure, you can. And the OPM, it's actually calculated by the Office of Personnel Management and added to your annuity check, they will pay you above and beyond what the FERS annuity formula pays you. So it depends, the formula simply, it depends on how many years, full years you have under FERS, and then they calculate an estimated Social Security benefit 62, and I won't go too much further into the calculation. But you can get several hundred, depending on how many FERS years you have and how high your Social Security estimate is at 62. You can get, some people may get $1,000 extra a year above and beyond their FERS annuity. And it's a substantial increase to get you to 62. Now, at 62, they automatically cut you off, OPM, as you flagged in the computer.
But then Social Security.
But then you could go more than replace it by your actual Social Security benefit. Now, you don't have to collect your actual Social Security, but you can if you need that, the loss of the supplement is too financially painful, you can actually then substitute that with even more money from your actual Social Security payment at 62.
Okay.
That's the supplement.
And important to remember, too, that's reported by OPM and not by Social Security.
Right.
And it doesn't get this kind of calculation thing I was doing before because it's not called Social Security at that point.
And it's not indexed to inflation because, for one thing, FERS employees don't get COLAs till 62 anyway, cost of living adjustments. But and it is also subject to that earnings test we talked about earlier. If you do go to work, as many do, not many, but a number of people do after retirement, depending on how much you earn, that supplement could, just like collecting Social Security benefits before your full Social Security age, that supplement too could be reduced or eliminated depending on how much you make for work after you retire from FERS. But it's a good deal in any case.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, that's with OPM. That has nothing to do with Social Security, because a lot of times we get that question. How do they calculate that supplement?
Okay, we got less than 1 minute. Lester, final comments?
Visit our website, file online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Again, click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. A lot of information.
The Lester Austin Orchestra. John?
And I would just add to that, when you go to the Social Security website, click on Get a Publication, and all the information just opens up for you. You can ask a question or get an email response, but if you click on Get a Publication, write that down if you're listening, then you probably can find 98% of your answers in that section of the website.
Okay, and we need to get off the air. And next week, we're going to have the TSP guys, Greg Long, the director, Tom Tribuco, the PR person.
Right, and they'll be talking, among other things, about the pending Roth TSP.
All righty. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.